Welcome to episode 205 of Teacher Tech Talk. I'm your host, Tom Varnum, the digital learning specialist for the Tyngsborough Public Schools in Tyngsborough, Massachusetts. So, some things have changed since the last episode, mid-February. Our district, along with just about every other school district in the country, maybe even the world, has been in remote learning mode since the middle of March. And we just found out in Massachusetts a few days ago that we will be in this mode for the remainder of the school year. Teachers and students have had to ramp up their digital learning skills on the fly, and I've been quite busy helping them make the best of a bad situation. With me today is one of my longtime colleagues, Kevin Redman, an English teacher at Tyngsborough High School and the content curriculum specialist, that's what we call our department heads, for the English department. We are going to talk about what else? Remote learning and the effect this pandemic has had and will have on education. Good morning, Kevin.
How are we doing, Tom?
Same old, as we said. Yeah. It's like Groundhog Day.
Yes, it is.
Kevin, just tell our listeners a little bit about your education background and how long you've been doing this.
All right. This is the end of my 21st year here at Tyngsborough High School. Prior to that, I was a sports writer for 12 years. I did local stuff in the Chelmsford, Westford, Littleton towns for weeklies for 6 years. And then prior to that, I was with the Haverhill Gazette for 6 years before that. So I got my Bachelor of Science in Journalism at Boston University. And then later on, got my Master's in Education at UMass Lowell before coming to Tyngsborough. It's the longest I've ever held a job.
Yeah, likewise. just for another added piece for my listeners, usually I'm recording this in our nice podcast studio with our professional recording equipment. But of course, I'm in my basement, Kevin's in his, and we're recording this over Google Meet. So just to start off, how are you feeling as a teacher? You know, what frustrations are you experiencing? Any small victories that you've noticed? You know, just a general feeling of how things are going.
Yeah, I mean, the frustration is just the daily interaction is gone, both with the students and the colleagues. I mean, we got a great thing going at the high school, and and just all those little conversations that just go on and on from the minute you get in the door to when you leave. You know, everybody, I just really miss the kids, really miss the hallway. It's just a great place to be, and we're not there right now. And I think there's also the powerlessness. You know, I think we all understand this, but, you know, we're used to solving problems, whether it's education or relationships in the building and stuff like that. And there's nothing we can really do about this but wait it out. If there are small victories, it's just, you know, some, I think, you know, a lot of the students have really come to appreciate the school a lot more. You know, the ones that have been coming to my class meetings talk about, you know, how much they really miss it more than they thought they would. You know, no matter how much they love school before or after this, I think a lot of them really appreciate what they had going. I had one student in a class meeting this week talk about how she'd come into school late that last Thursday that we were in school, and she said, "I'm so mad at myself. I'm so sad that I wasn't in that day."
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting when and if we get the students back to kind of dig deep into how they dealt with this and what their reactions have been. I was reading, I don't know if I was reading or listening to something today on NPR or in the Boston Globe or something about how people have found that they are, when they are working from home now, they feel that they are working more hours than they would have worked if they were working, you know, regular commuting job. Mm. What are you doing to maintain the distinction between home life and work?
I like that question. It's like I've tried to keep some kind of structure in my life. I still get up early and run every morning and do my workout. So I'm not sleeping till 10 or even 6. And then I do keep a kind of a routine. I've got, you know, a couple of hours in the morning where I make sure everything that's going into Google Classroom is ready to go. And then, you know, what do I need to do for the next day, whether it's catch up on Dante's Inferno or prepare another video lesson. But then for home, you know, my son's home from college and my wife is working at home. She's an educator too. So at least we've all been busy. So it's not like one person has had a lot of time on their hands and they're like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? So, you know, I'll work pretty steadily till lunchtime. And then after that, it might be a little bit of school or some reading. Once a week, I take the dog to a new place, a state park or a conservation land somewhere. And then once you get past like around 3 o'clock, my wife and I will take a walk around the neighborhood, and then I love to cook, so I'll be cooking dinner. I probably don't miss grading papers until 9 o'clock at night. So I do have that, you know, the evenings are pretty free. So it hasn't been that difficult, but like, I think it's, you know, I really feel for the parents of elementary school kids right now who,
oh my goodness,
you know, yes, either need to work at home and or shepherd them through their work, or they need to get out because of where they work as first responders or market basket or anything like that.
Yeah, my wife and I usually take a walk around three about the same time around, you know, around the neighborhood. And I've found it's especially with my position where people are constantly asking questions about how to do this, can you help me with this, which is fine. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. I really make a conscious effort, you know, whenever I'm stopping, 2:30, 3 o'clock, whenever that is, shut down the computer, yep, don't answer my email,
right,
and just, you know, it'll sit for a day. It'll sit for a couple hours, because it's not a, you know, we're not frontline responders or anything like that. And I think it's very important to do that. Now it's a lot easier for me. I'm in kind of the same situation as you. Our son he's still down in South Carolina. He's a senior in college and he'll be coming home soon, but you know, they're supposed to be self-sufficient at that age.
Right.
But we have no young kids. Yeah, it's been you know, a change, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So back to sort of the education part of it. What so far, and you know, we're kind of in a middle phase here where students are getting a more structured workload, so to speak. What are you focusing on with your students at this point?
Well, with three of my classes, they were all juniors and seniors, and we were in the second half of the courses, so I didn't have too many of the electives that were only 4 days in. So I had a feel for the group. They kind of had a feel for where we were headed for the rest of the school year. So for my writing research class, we usually, after they've done their 18 to 20 pages of writing on their topics, we end the year with a 12 to 15 minute presentation. Clearly that was not going to happen this year. So they're working on presentation skills right now, and we reduced it to just 5 or 6 minutes. I wanted them to get comfortable with technology, adding some tools to their Google Slides bags with animation and stuff like that, and then using the Loom video or Screencastify to record themselves and get the idea of, you know, working on pace and volume and tone as they do presentations. So I think there'll be some value there, because we know from our alumni telling us that they're certainly going to face presentations down the line. And now, as we got word that we are officially out the rest of the year, we'll flip things around. And they had done one paper using MLA style, and we had held off on the APA paper. So they'll pick that up, and they know that's one of the reasons they take the course, is they know when they get to college, they're going to need a couple of styles for their research paper. So we're trying to keep it practical. I know it's a grind, and I know they're not all available because of either work or family situations and things like that. But I certainly didn't want to just throw, you know, any kind of busy work at them just to keep them checking in.
Mm. I think the other thing you mentioned about, you know, developing their presentation skills that they're going to need in the future. One of the things that I think students and teachers definitely are developing now is more skills with, you know, distance education, remote learning, or whatever you want to call it. And based on what a lot of the scientists are saying is this, you know, until we get a vaccine, until we get a treatment, we may be facing some more shutdowns in the near future, so that the more comfortable we get with trying to get the education to the students remotely, and the more comfortable the students get with, you know, maybe more self-paced types of things, these are also skills they're going to need in the future. So maybe there's a small silver lining.
Right.
So what new technology skills or tools have you begun to use often?
Well, fortunately, you know, you and I, we've been working on this for a little while. So, mm-hmm. You know, one by one, we've added things like Pear Deck and Socrative and some of that other stuff. But I think what this has given me time to do is a lot more matching up, say, a Google Slide presentation with a video. You know, we mentioned earlier elementary school versus high school. I know right now that it would just be an exercise in futility to say I need everybody online at, you know, noon or 1 or 11 a.m. so I can instruct you. So I've been preparing, you know, with visuals like Google Slides, and then narrating over that with the Loom video. So now I can drop a 15-minute, an 18-minute bit of instruction to help the students get on their way, which has kind of been the model in the classroom most of the time with these 67-minute blocks. Especially with upper house juniors and seniors, I would kind of keep them together for 15 minutes or so with some instructions, some reminders or targets for the day, and then just kind of turn them loose. And they would literally scatter. They'd be in the library, they'd be in the hallway, they'd be in the classroom, and I could just roam around and troubleshoot with them. So it's just been taking that instructional piece and getting more effective with, you know, making a Google slide out of it and narrating it. So those have been the two biggest skill sets I've been getting better at.
Hmm. Yeah. One of the things I had thought about this before, you know, the world changed is, you know, you and I have been around quite a while. And I often think of people asking, what's the biggest change in education and all that. And I said, one of the things definitely at our school is the amount of education that taking place outside the classroom and in the media center, in, you know, on a picnic table, sit down the hallway. When I first started, I'm sure when you first started, kids weren't roaming the hallways doing work. They were in the classroom.
Right.
So I think in some ways, maybe we have been subconsciously preparing for this kind of situation. So we might be, you know, we might be in better shape than we think. Well, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So you mentioned some of the things that you've been working on now. Is there anything now that we know we're going until, you know, the end of the school year, anything you're looking to try new, different things you're trying to work into your remote learning teaching style?
Well, I think, you know, at the beginning, we were all asked to, you know, make ourselves available online for an hour a day so that if a student was working on something and they needed to check in by a one-on-one or if a group of three or four were working. And I've seen that, you know, the class meetings are okay once or twice a week. I'll say, let's all just be on screen so we can see each other and talk about what's going on. And those have been helpful. They've been more therapeutic than instructive, I believe, yeah. But there's still some value to it. But I think the biggest gap right now, you know, just think how many times we've used the word remote and distance in the last month. And what the piece that's missing is just the physical presence and the spontaneity. One of the reasons I like, you know, that 45 minutes a day of roaming is as soon as a student sees me walk by, they'll stop and say, Mr. Evan, I have a question. And they'll point to their screen or they've highlighted something that they need to go back and ask about.
Yeah.
And that immediate feedback, that availability isn't there right now. And I understand it. So it's hard for a student to say, all right, I will click in at 11:30 and ask Mr. Redmond this question. Or during a class meeting, you know, that one student that's, you know, out of 15 or 20 faces on the screen, it's that same, well, I don't want to raise my hand and ask that question. So I think I want to get back to maybe just scheduling some students saying, you know what, I just want to check in with you, you know, what's a good time Monday? What's a good time Tuesday? So I can still maybe, we've just talked about this, the content leaders meeting yesterday is, you know, maybe having 30 minutes that's sort of a general office hour. And then the other 30 minutes, I just check in for 5 or 6 minutes at a time with a few kids at a time, just to give them the opportunity to, you know, bring up anything that they're struggling with.
Yeah. Anything else, you know, that's a huge limitation of this new paradigm, to use the old educational term. Any other things? I mean, some people are touting this, you know, this new remote learning as, you know, the future of education. Well, now we can do it this way. So, you know, why don't we do it? We can save money. Any other limitations you have found so far?
There are a couple. I mean, first of all, I can't overstate how valuable the day-to-day, the physical presence is. And yeah. I hope that's hitting a lot of people, that all the little conversations, you know, that the reasons you and I had our favorite teachers in high school and the reasons these kids have their favorite teachers now have nothing to do with how well they delivered the content. You know, they were the teachers that figured out what made you tick, and you figure that out by just talking about anything, you know, whether it's where they went skiing or the basketball game you watched them play in last night, or the dog they just brought home. So, you know, you're never going to replace that. So no. I definitely see the value of having this as an alternative and as a tool. But there's also the, you can't deny this, it's definitely too much screen time. It's too much sitting in place. And I know we're all going to have to figure out how can we give assignments that they can receive on the screen, but then get up and get away from that computer and create something. So I think that's a huge limitation. So I think that's the biggest limitation is that, you know, the physical presence in the building and figuring out how to, you know, use the computer and also get away from the computer.
I agree about the physical connection, and I've noticed it for myself. You know, this is my third year of this new position, not having, you know, everyday contact with students in a classroom, and that is by far the thing that I miss the most. You know, I'm lucky that I'm able to coach three sports, and I get that in a school year, but that daily connection with the student.
Yeah, I think it points out why teachers are so exhausted at the end of the day, because it's just, we're ramped up and it's high energy and it's great and it's so good. And you're like DEFCON 4 from 7:30 to 3 or 4, and then you've ramping it back down again. And I really miss it. This has been 21 years. This is by far the saddest time as an educator that I can think of.
Yeah, I think we're all, that's the way we're all feeling at this point. So right now we're ramble mode. We are, as I've been, we're building the plane as it's in flight here. But we also have to look forward. And I know we talked a little bit about this in the content leader meeting yesterday. What are we going to be facing? What are some of the problems we're going to be facing going forward, getting back to whatever the new normal is, getting back to in the building education? What are we going to be needing to do going forward in the fall of 2020?
Yeah, that's the recovery mode we've got to figure out. I really appreciate the position the district has taken here, that, you know, now is not the time to be hammering away and grinding away at kids for why didn't you get this assignment done? And, you know, there's a lot of families with a lot of different situations. So right now it's, let's do the best we can and get that work out there. And then, you know, in a lot of ways, the real work will begin in late summer and the fall. So we're going to have to do triage in the fall. We're going to start school year with, you know, some pre-assessments and just say, where are we? You know, we can't just say, this is what I've always done in September, so I'm going to keep doing that. And that's across all subjects. I feel for the math teachers.
Oh yeah. Forge.
You know, it's just going to be, so we'll figure it out. We're going to adjust. I don't even know what we're going to do for summer work right now. But we'll adjust that first week or two of school to see, all right, what do we really need to teach to get people caught up? I don't want to hear parents right now worrying about my kids falling behind, because this isn't a Tingsboro thing. This is everywhere. Mm-hmm. I'd rather these all students at every grade level come out of it like excited to come back to school and not beaten up because their grade and their GPA suffered. I know a lot of other towns have tried to go full speed ahead and act like nothing's happening. So I think next year,
doing it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think next year, I think the fall is the time where the teachers need to step in and say, okay, now we need to worry about making sure you're not behind. You know, if you were a junior and you had your eyes, you had your heart set on BC Calc, let's make sure you're ready to take that. You know, so that's going to be on us, and that's going to be our summer work is, all right, let's throw out at least the first month of school. And see where these kids are, and then, you know, let's do what we do and let's be good at it.
Any other thoughts, feelings about how this may affect education in the future? I mean, going long term, you know, beyond the fall, beyond the triage, as you said, which I think is a good way to describe it.
Yeah, well, you know, our job is making the classroom run smoothly, and you know, I don't know anything right now, but I know from from at every level, the, you know, state budgets and the way the economy's been racked, you know, this is going to impact how schools make their offerings, you know, what's going to be available. What's, you know, I don't know what this is going to do to, we can't have a town meeting because you can't have people together.
Right.
So it's hard to set a budget. It's hard to plan. I know that, you know, that I would love to think we could have some remedial courses for 2 or 3 weeks at the end of August for students who really want to ramp up and hit the ground running. But, you know, I don't know. And I think, you know, there's questions for everybody. You know, we're going to look back at it in 5 years and say, so we never really did go back to normal. It's just going to be a different normal. It's just not ever going to be the way it was 10 weeks ago.
I agree with you 100% that it's never going to be the same way again. And what I think is, and one of the things I like about the way our district, and I think most districts are handling this, is they're not just spouting answers off the top of their head. They're like, we don't know how this is going to work. We're going to have to figure it out. You know, we're going to have to take it one step at a time. You know, there's no magic bullet here to solve this, you know, this education issue that's going to come up. Right now we got to, you know, solve the big problem, you know, get the virus under control. But, you know, not saying, well, this is what we're going to do and we're going to do it this way, and rather admitting, yeah, we don't know what we're going to be faced with in the future.
Exactly.
And I think that's, you know, it's a weird word to use right now, but I think that's healthy that we understand, we know what we don't know. And hopefully going forward, that's, you know, that's going to help us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me today, and
good luck
going forward.
And to you, we'll be seeing you on screen.
Yes. Hopefully we can raise a pint together at some point in the near future without violating any local
code
of health or anything like that.
Exactly.
I'd like to thank Kevin Redman for joining me and sharing his thoughts about the new normal in education. To all my teaching colleagues out there, all we need to do is the best we can do for our students. As one of the local superintendents has become fond of saying, it's a health crisis, not an education crisis. We'll get through this. That's all for this week's episode. If you want to leave us a voice message, you can do so from the Anchor app on your phone by clicking the message button. If you'd like to suggest a future topic or a future guest for Teacher Tech Talk, you can leave a voice message or send me an email. For my email address, check out the show notes page on my website, bit.ly/VarnumBlog. That's bit.ly/VarnumBlog. You can also find this information on the podcast homepage, anchor.fm/teacher-tech-talk. anchor.fm/teacher-tech-talk. All right, that's it for this episode. Please join me for my next episode, whenever that may be, hopefully later this month. As always, remember, don't be afraid to try something new in the classroom. Catch you next time.